It's Friday. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. It is my show, and you can call in because it's Friday. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. We've got to begin with the border situation because the President of the United States has chosen not just to speak on the border situation, but to express a level of outrage at the border situation that he's never bothered to be outraged by with the Taliban or anything of the like. It's an extraordinary situation to have seen the president a short time ago say this about the Border Patrol agents.
Take responsibility for the chaos that's unfolding.
Of course I take responsibility. I'm president, but it was horrible what to see, as you saw. To see people treat it like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. They will be, an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. There will be consequences. It's an embarrassment, but it's beyond an embarrassment. It's dangerous. It's wrong. It sends the wrong message around the world. It sends the wrong message at home. It's simply not who we are.
Simply not who we are, except the photographer behind the photos has come forward. This is from KTSM in El Paso, Texas. The photographer behind images depicting Border Patrol agents on horseback told KTSM things are not exactly what they seem when it comes to the photos. The photographs, which were taken Sunday, appear to show agents on horses with a whip in hand. The photos caused outrage because from certain angles it appeared to show Border Patrol whipping migrants. But photographer Peter Ratchis says he and his colleagues never saw agents whipping anyone. Some of the Haitian men started running, trying to go around the horses, Ratchis said. Ratchis is a photographer based in Las Cruces who's been in Del Rio since Friday. He said he took the photographs from the Mexican side. I've never seen them whip anyone, Ratchis said. He was swinging it, but it can be misconstrued when you're looking at the picture. The photos drew immense criticism from many on social media. The White House said it will investigate. Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, called the images horrific. Vice President Kamala Harris, who also was asked about the photos, called them deeply troubling. Harris said there will be a thorough investigation into how the agents were handling and treating migrants. So the photographer himself says it's not true. The photographer himself says he did not see what progressives and politicians and Joe Biden are saying. And if you notice Joe Biden's language, they've already come to the conclusion that it is what it is, and it's terrible, and it's bad, and it's wrong. And they themselves are already judging the Border Patrol without having actually investigated. And it turns out if they investigate, it's already been thoroughly discredited, even by the photographer. Have you noticed? The progressives, the left, and the Democratic Party, they don't want to blame the Taliban. They claim the Taliban helped us get out of Afghanistan. They want to blame American nonprofits for overwhelming the system to get people out of Afghanistan. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed progressive politicians around the country? They don't want to blame Antifa and Black Lives Matter for rioting and burning businesses down. They want to blame the police who they claim provoked them. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed in fights with police, when someone dies, the police are always now the first to be blamed? Not the bad guy, it's the police. The police are now the bad guys. Have you noticed? Have you noticed the good guys are now the bad guys? And the bad guys are the victims. The Border Patrol has had their horses taken away from them. That's the initial action. The Border Patrol agents themselves are suspended pending investigation, and they won't be allowed to be on horseback at the border where you need to have horses. Joe Biden has never been to the border. I'm sure neither is Kamala Harris. I'm sure they don't realize that the Border Patrol agents actually do need horses to wade into the territory and into the river in ways that Jeeps can't. Are they going to give them tanks? Are they going to give them Humvees? What are they going to give them? They're not going to give them anything. They need the horses. why is it always the bad guys are actually, they're the good guys? And the actual bad guys are treated as victims. I'm assuming y'all have noticed this. Here in Atlanta, the mayor of Atlanta threw the police under the bus for a series of instances that they were not responsible for, made them the bad guys. A lot of them quit. There's a crime wave now. In Minneapolis, they want to defund the police because of one officer in the George Floyd situation. They want to defund the police. Around the country, police are not allowed to police anymore. Murder is up. Crime is up. The best they can do is say, well, actually, you know, burglaries and stuff are down so much it's driving down crime, but assaults are up. Robberies are up, murders up, muggings are up, carjackings are up, but well, I mean, people can't break into houses anymore because we've all been on lockdown. So it's driven the crime rate down. Pay no attention to all the other crimes that have increased as police have walked off the job. How many Border Patrol agents do you think are going to walk off the job because of this? That they're the bad guys now. I mean, the police are doing it. Why wouldn't the Border Patrol agents do it? They did nothing wrong. The photographer has come forward and said what the images appear to show is not true. You captured a fraction of a second on film, and people are making conclusions, drawing conclusions from a moment frozen in time on film. You don't have the video. If you saw the video, yeah, they were occasionally swinging the reins, but they weren't whipping people. They weren't beating people. They weren't lassoing people. They weren't rounding people up with whips. They were trying to block Haitian refugees from getting around them. They were trying to run around the horses. This is the eyewitness who took the photograph that caused the sensation, saying everybody got it wrong. And this isn't the first time this sort of thing has happened. This happens all the time, and the social media mob gets going, and people are tried and condemned by the mob before an investigation even begins. There's something else here too, though. The optics. I hate to use the word optics, the visuals, how it appears. The Biden administration seems obsessed with winning the Twitter war on optics. And what's perverse to me, what's bizarre to me, is that they don't realize that there's a mass humanitarian crisis on the border, and the optics of that are terrible. They're far more outraged by the misinterpreted optics of the Border Patrol on horses because progressives were upset about that. Who really is setting the agenda in the White House? I have a hard time believing that it's Joe Biden. Which progressives? He's brought a bunch of progressives into the White House, and these progressives seem to be hostile to police and law enforcement and the border and our military and Americans in Afghanistan, Christian charities trying to get people out of Afghanistan. But the moment you can make a Border Patrol agent look bad, they pounce. The media always talks about Republicans pouncing, Republicans seizing. These people pounced on a photo to make Border Patrol agents look bad, and they got the President of the United States stirred up to take action and punish the Border Patrol and take away their horses when they did nothing wrong. And yet these are the optics they're concerned about. They're not concerned about the sea of humanity at the border under the bridge. They're not concerned about that at all. In fact, the media itself is not concerned about that. And what does it tell you that the American media, progressive activists, and the President of the United States were unconcerned and unperturbed by a mass of humanity stuck under a bridge without running water, without sanitation? They were perfectly fine to ignore it all until they could attack the Border Patrol and make it about the Border Patrol and make the people crossing illegally into the country the victims, the bad guys, the people to blame. What if Donald Trump had done this? Can you imagine if there was a sea of humanity under a bridge and Donald Trump was there? For God's sakes, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez took the national media with her to Texas to claim we were running concentration camps. A progressive activist got killed trying to firebomb an ICE facility because he really believed her that there were concentration camps. And he decided to take action to stop ICE and its concentration camps where there were no concentration camps. And did you know that? Did you know that actually did happen? It is a true story. A progressive activist tried to firebomb an ICE facility, was killed in the process, And he really did it because he really believed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the idea that there were concentration camps at the border, and he was going to stand up and be the hero and fight back. And the media rapidly moved on from the story when they found out this guy was emboldened by AOC's rhetoric to take action. To this day, progressives deny it. It's all there. It's all true. It really did happen. And now it's Joe Biden in charge. You've got these people pulled up under this bridge in the Texas heat, and she's nowhere to be seen. Joe Biden's never been to the border. Kamala Harris is the one who's supposed to be in charge of this. She's nowhere to be seen. But my gosh, the moment the picture came out about the Border Patrol, it's attack the Border Patrol. Don't solve the problem. Attack the Border Patrol. Misrepresented as it was. When you're more interested in winning the war on Twitter for progressive hearts and minds and not actually doing the right thing, maybe it's time to hang it up. There needs to be some accountability, but the accountability is not with the Border Patrol. It's got to be with the Biden administration for getting fired up over a misrepresented photo instead of fired up over a mass of humanity at the border that needs help. The Haitians who were streaming across the border, but let's be clear here, they're not the bad guys. Yes, they did wrong. They came here. They shouldn't have. They feel like they have nowhere to go. And we need to get them back to their home. But they're not the bad guys. They're hungry. They're scared. They're tired. They're out of work. They came here because Joe Biden told them they could come. Word came out that he was the new boss. Donald Trump was gone. Joe Biden was the one who told these people that we would treat them better than what Donald Trump did. And they interpreted that as, hey, we can come. The bad guys are the people in the Biden administration who provoked this situation and then threw these people under the bus. It's unfortunate that this is where we are. It's unfortunate that the Border Patrol is left holding the bag. Here's Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary.
What does he believe of the comparisons being made between his administration and the Trump administration? We saw Congresswoman Maxine Waters just today saying this is Trump's policy. Several other Democrats are saying this looks like the previous administration. What does he think of those comments?
Well, what our role is and what the president has asked his outreach team, members of his national security team, Homeland Security team to do is to explain clearly what our policy is and what our policy is not. We could not see it as any more different from the policy of the prior administration, which the president feels, we all feel, was inhumane, immoral, ineffective, wasn't operationally working. And because of the dysfunction of it, we have led to a very broken system that we're dealing with today. So what he has asked all of us to convey clearly to people who are understandably have questions, are passionate, are concerned, as we are about the images that we have seen, is one, we feel those images are horrible and horrific. There is an investigation the president certainly supports, overseen by the Department of Homeland Security, which he has conveyed will happen quickly. I can also convey to you that the secretary also conveyed to civil rights leaders earlier this morning that we would no longer be using horses in Del Rio. So that is something, a policy change that has been made in response.
A policy change made in response to a misinterpreted photo that was designed through the interpretation to put the Border Patrol agents doing their job in the worst possible light. We're not going to solve the crime problem or the border problem when progressives make the good guys the bad guys every single time they get the chance. Americans continue to navigate through multiple crises this year. We the People, a Bradley speaker series, offers insights and ideas on the current challenges we face from some of the remarkable organizations the Bradley Foundation supports. Visit bradleyfdn.org/liberty to watch their most recent episode, which features Stephen Sokup, author of The Dictatorship of Woke Capital, How Political Correctness Captured Big Business, an Encounter Books publication. In this episode, Sokup discusses the left's gradual takeover of corporate America and why the free market hasn't been able to prevent it, the dangerous impact of shareholder activism, and efforts to push back on it. That's Bradley with an L-E-Y at the end, fdn.org/liberty, to watch the video. New episodes debut weekly, so go back often, subscribe to their YouTube channel. Be notified when new ones are posted. That's bradleyfdn.org/liberty. Why is it that UPS always comes to my house last? My iPhone, it's out on a truck somewhere in middle Georgia, waiting to come to my house. Where the crow flies, the UPS truck, according to the UPS website, it's like 5 miles from my house. Estimated time of delivery, 7 p.m. I'm going to be on the golf course this afternoon when my Jesus phone arrives, and it's killing me. I don't even care if y'all care or not. It's momentous. It's my iPhone. I get one every year. I stood in line for the very first iPhone. My buddy Clayton and I, we stood in line. My wife joked. She wanted to know which of us was dressing up as Princess Leia and which of us was dressing up as Chewbacca. Charlie says, trust me, no one cares. I don't care. It's my show. Get your own show. All right. There's an issue here we need to consider. The Democrats, I don't know that they have considered it. On the Border Patrol situation, on the Afghan situation, on the intelligence situation, all these things. Right now, the Democrats control the House and the Senate, so they get to control the investigative capabilities and procedures of the House and the Senate. There was a story out the other day. I think it was in Politico or Washington Post. I can't remember. Maybe Axios. That the Democrats were trying to investigate what happened in Afghanistan, but had to thread the needle because they did not want it to blow back on Joe Biden. They wanted to protect Biden while also genuinely were concerned with what happened in Afghanistan. And the hearings can't really go anywhere because Joe Biden was so largely to blame for what happened. Which is just, it's striking to me. They can't get to the bottom of it. And this is part of the problem the Democrats have right now. Is as long as they're in charge, they control the investigative scope of Congress. If the Republicans take back the House and the Senate next year, they then control the investigative scope of Congress. And the investigative scope of Congress, you know, is going to expand in the run-up to 2024. And of course, the Democrats will say it's all political, but the Republicans, there are a lot of things, even members of the media. I was actually talking to a pretty well-known journalist the other day, y'all would all know, has his own TV show, and he said the Biden administration's unwillingness to deal honestly with what happened in Afghanistan suggests there's more to it, and the Democrats in Congress can't dig into it because it might hurt them in 2022, largely because of the polling. I was actually talking to a very well-known Biden supporter the other day, who said her biggest frustration is she thinks they need to admit they screwed up Afghanistan, and they can't. And as long as they can't admit it and they double down on it was good, it's going to hurt them in the polls. She's of the opinion that if they would just come out and say, yeah, we screwed up, we're sorry, heads are going to roll, that the public would forgive Biden and his polling would rebound. But as long as he doubles down and says no one needs to be fired because everything was perfect, including the missile strike that didn't kill a terrorist but actually killed a dad and his kids, the public's going to punish him. And the punishing is starting to have a toll. There are ramifications for Joe Biden's unpopularity at this moment for the Democrats, and it's starting to show up in places the Democrats really don't want it to show up. Now, what does all that mean? When we come back, I want to actually spend a little more time on this. It's not repetitious, I promise. If you were here yesterday, we talked about some of Biden's polling. There are actually today some real-world ramifications we're seeing. In parts of the country, the Biden administration can least afford to have fallout from his unpopularity. Virginia being one of them, the gubernatorial election in Virginia. But there's a lot more, particularly with redistricting happening. The Democrats, for a moment, thought that they could mitigate Republican redistricting with Democrat redistricting in places like Illinois, New York, and Maryland. And it's not looking like it's going to work out that way for them. It's actually looking like there's going to be hell to pay for the Democrats. And it comes back to state level polling. We now have multiple states beyond Iowa, including in Georgia and Florida, still considered swing states, and now in Virginia, that the number one grievance voters have against Joe Biden is incompetence. Incompetence. We'll explore it when we come back. If you've been behind the wheel of a high-performance sports car, you realize how much better a car can be. You never want to settle for a regular car again. I feel that way with my X-Chair. From the moment I first sat down in it and I understood how many consider X-Chair to be the finest office chair in the world, can your current office chair give you a massage while you're working? My X-Chair can, and as a guy in radio who sits in this chair for 3 hours a day, plus an additional 3 hours doing show prep, I can tell you it's worth it. It can also heat up. It can cool down. That's what my X-Chair can do. I bet yours can't. It's all the Elemax massage and temperature regulation, exclusively designed and made for X-Chair. Once you feel it, once you realize the difference, you're not going to go back. You're going to want one of these. Try X-Chair yourself, risk-free for 30 days. Once you realize how much better your chair can be, you're never going to go back. I promise, I didn't, and I had a really fancy chair, and then I got my X-Chair. There's no going back. Go to xchaireric.com now with the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com, for $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. It's xchaireric.com. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, should you like to call in and be a part of the program this wonderful, glorious Friday, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I say it's a wonderful, glorious Friday because, my gosh, the weather where I am is fantastic. It is cool. There's no humidity. I'm going to play golf this afternoon. It's going to be fantastic. Ah, oh, man. You know, there's that moment in the year where you hit the fall. And the weather cools down and you get up in the morning and it's just, it's cool. You know, it's going to warm up, but it's cool in the morning. You can sit outside, have your coffee, see the steam come off of it because it's nice and cool. Man, we have hit that point. Now, unfortunately, I live in what's called the South. As a result, this is all a big psych out. Next week or so, I'm sure it'll be back to 100 degrees and we will have second summer. And we will long for second fall, and then we will have first winter, and then back to third summer, and then we'll have third fall, and then second winter. It's just the South. You never know. It needs Thorazine. All right, we got to move on. We need to talk about the Biden polling situation because it's really gotten bad. It's gotten bad in ways that the Democrats are starting to be perturbed about. And I am of the opinion that if they can't lock in perceptions soon, and they may have missed the window, the perceptions will spill over. Now, this is important. It is important for you to understand that one of the situations here is that the Democrats know in the midterm elections things tend to go for the party that doesn't control the White House. That's the historic norm. And with a 5-seat majority in the House, the historic norms go against the Democrats without even contemplating redistricting. You throw in redistricting and it gets even worse. That's part of the problem they're dealing with here. But it goes beyond that as well. Because this year, you've got the Virginia gubernatorial race, Glenn Youngkin versus Terry McAuliffe. McAuliffe had been governor of Virginia. The Virginia Constitution only allows you to serve a term. You're not term limited, but you can only serve one term. You can serve 4 years and you got to go away before you can come back. They've had this constitution since Thomas Jefferson was around. And everyone's assumed Terry McAuliffe was going to win. And it turns out it's way closer than it is. And part of it is Joe Biden's negative ratings. Not only Joe Biden's negative ratings, but in Northern Virginia, which is a progressive area that goes for the Democrats, Glenn Youngkin's been running his advertising on schools because the schooling in Northern Virginia, the school districts there, the school boards are keeping schools shut down. They're putting onerous, burdensome requirements on parents. They've even attacked parents when schools were shut down last year for hiring tutors for their kids. And Youngkin's making that a campaign issue. And it's working for him. All indications are it's working for him. But it goes beyond that as well. There's more to it than that. Biden's drag is dragging down Democrats in ways that have other impacts. So consider this. Stacey Abrams, The governor of Georgia, the would-be governor of Georgia, she thinks she won. The Democrats have claimed she won. She's starting to do a tour on voting rights and voter ID around the country. She's kept a very low profile in Georgia now. They're wondering, is she actually going to challenge Brian Kemp in 2022? I'm in the camp that says she is, but a growing body of people, Democrats and Republicans alike, are starting to wonder, will she? Why? Because Biden's popularity is dragging things down to the extent that even Raphael Warnock, the senator in Georgia, the Democrat, he's vulnerable to a Republican attack depending on the nominee. And if he's vulnerable, Abrams is really vulnerable. And she wants to be president. If she wants to be president, she needs to actually win something, not just have a moral victory. And if she loses in 2022, she's a two-time loser for governor. So she can't run in 2024. And then there's the corollary. Does she swap someone else out? Does she convince, for example, there's a lady in the Georgia State Senate, Jen Jordan. She's kind of been the abortion Barbie of Georgia. She may swap her out. She basically made Jen Jordan run for attorney general. Maybe Jordan now runs for governor in Georgia. And if she gets elected, well, that's 8 years where Abrams can't run. If she loses, well, then Abrams can, I guess, try to run in, what, 2026 and put off the presidential ambitions for a while. I guess there's some people who think maybe she won't run. It's having an impact on the Republican side as well. So Donald Trump does not like Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, and he apparently has given up now on trying to find people to run against Kemp. The only person who's running against Kemp is a goofball Democrat named Vernon Jones, who's converted to the Republican Party. He was a pro-abortion Democrat and flip of a switch became a pro-life Republican, and he's not getting any traction. He squandered all of his money, and President Trump won't even endorse him, calls him my friend Vernon, but he won't endorse him for governor. That's kind of the most damning indictment on the Vernon Jones candidacy in Georgia, by the way, is Donald Trump is desperate to find someone to run against Brian Kemp. He's got a clown show running and refuses to endorse him. Kind of tells you where Vernon Jones is going to wind up. But the fact that Republicans in Georgia have rallied to Kemp is a big indicator that there are headwinds for the Democrats, and the Republicans think they can have an easy win with Kemp, and they might be able to. And it's not just there. It's around the country. The Democrats can't find someone credible to run against Greg Abbott. Beto O'Rourke has had to show up again. Poor old Beto. Every time he runs, you bet no on him because you know he's going to lose. They put up abortion Barbie there, the real abortion Barbie, Wendy Davis. She lost. She then ran against my buddy Chip Roy. She lost to him. Now they've got Beto having run for the Senate against Cruz. He lost. He ran for president. He lost. Now he wants to run for governor. Abbott has his own troubles, though. Abbott is not popular with the GOP or independents in Texas anymore. He's been too cautious. He's been very muddied and wishy-washy. And even the Democrats there are having a hard time against him. In Florida, it's doom, gloom, and despair for the Democrats. The Democrats in Florida are trying to find someone to run against not just Ron DeSantis, but Marco Rubio. And the polling for the Democrats in Florida is terrible. They're looking to get wiped out in Florida again. And why? It's not really even their policies. It's not really even their positions. It's Joe Biden dragging them down. This helps Republicans in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin with the Senate. It helps Republicans in Arizona with the Senate. It hurts the Democrats, and they know it, and they're starting to panic. You don't believe me? You don't think they're really starting to panic? Susan Glasser is a progressive's progressive. She writes in the New Yorker. This is the headline of her piece in the New Yorker. It's too early to consign Joe Biden to the ash heap of history. Y'all, we are September 24th of the first year of the Biden administration, and if you've got to have Susan Glasser at the New Yorker say it's too early to consign Joe Biden to the ash heap of history, that means there are Democrats, not just Republicans, ready to consign him to the ash heap of history. And she's like, you can't do it yet. We're only 9 months in, guys. The subtitle, but not too early for Democrats to start panicking. Is Joe Biden's presidency actually dead, failed, and all but over? as you have surely heard by now. The Republicans and their conservative allies in the commentariat, including some notable Never Trumpers, think so. Jim Garrity in National Review wrote this week that Biden is both flailing and failing and that the president and his administration are naive, unprepared, slow-footed, and in over their heads. Jim's not wrong. Matt Lewis in the Daily Beast wrote something similar under the headline, "It took Biden 48 years to be president and 8 months to F it up." What a great title. It took Biden 48 years to be president and 8 months to F it up, except he didn't say F, he used the word. At least Garrity and Lewis gave Biden until this week. In the Times, Brett Stevens warned of another failed presidency at hand the day after Labor Day, even before Congress came back to town, when it was yet to be seen whether legislators would enact Biden's agenda or sink it, all of which strikes me as wildly overstated, a conservative analog to the many progressives who declared Biden the second coming of FDR this spring merely because he had proposed a wave of expensive progressive legislation that may or may not get through Congress. Now, wait. I got to set context here. She's focusing on a couple of Republicans. It doesn't matter. The New Yorker doesn't read. The people who read The New Yorker do not read Matt Lewis and Jim Garrity. Maybe Brett Stevens, but I doubt that. They're still mad that The New York Times puts him in The New York Times. She's having to tell Democrats, guys, calm down. It's not over yet. I assure you she's not writing this because of what a few Republicans are saying. It's that the Democrats behind the scenes are saying the same thing. It was too soon then to nominate Biden to a place on Mount Rushmore. It is too soon now to consign him to the ash heap of history. What we might be seeing instead is a bit of a return to normalcy in American politics, the kind of normalcy in which a president's job approval rating goes up or down depending on how people think he is actually doing. Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton were also considered by many to be failed presidents early in their tenures and saw their parties each lose their first midterm elections as a result. Both went on to be among the most popular two-term presidents of the modern era. The warning lights are undoubtedly flashing red for Biden right now. His Gallup approval rating is down to 43%, a drop of 6 points in the past month, which saw a deadly surge of COVID-19 in the U.S. and the chaotic American withdrawal from Afghanistan, and a 13-point decline since June. The Pew Research Center, in a poll released on Thursday, showed Biden at 44%, down 11 points from July. The failed presidency crowd sees this as the inevitable outcome of a leader who strayed from the promise of his campaign to oust Donald Trump and instead embraced a politically impractical vision of a progressive utopia. I think we need to rewind the tape and go back. She acknowledges that Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton got wiped out in their first midterm elections. The problem here for the Democrats is that in the 80s and 90s, you could be wiped out of the midterms. The other party could exert control, and yet you could still do bipartisan deals. Bipartisan deals don't really happen anymore. Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich were able to balance the federal budget. In a 10-year plan, they were able to balance the budget. It actually wound up being a pretty good deal for America and helped the economy. Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill were able to do great things, and Ronald Reagan was a foreign policy president and could bypass Congress for most of it. But he was able to get a bipartisan tax reform package through in 1986. Several major bipartisan pieces of legislation, even George H.W. Bush, a one-term president, got some bipartisan deals accomplished, including the Americans with Disability Act. What is Joe Biden going to accomplish when the Republicans want to give him nothing after the midterms? What is he going to do? There's nothing he can do. I mean, you're not willing to say he's failed yet, but the fact that you think it's too early to consign him to the ash heap of history is a big admission that you think he could eventually be assigned to the ash or consigned to the ash heap of history. And yes, Democrats, it's time for you to panic. When the polling in Virginia from the Cook Political Report comes out and says, yeah, the race in Virginia is now a toss-up in a state that has trended reliably blue over time, you got reason to panic. You're not going to get Texas or Florida or Georgia. You're going to be hurt in North Carolina, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. The Senate seats are at stake. You've got, and in North Carolina too, and in Georgia. The Republicans could very well take back the Senate. all because Joe Biden came into office declaring he wasn't Donald Trump. And then instead of being the guy who could bring the country together, willfully divided it up to advance a progressive agenda that is so big it's going to bankrupt the nation and cause runaway inflation. And his administration is still saying it's transitory, it's transitory. Don't look now. The Federal Reserve came out yesterday and said, actually, we're thinking the inflation is going to be around a lot longer than we expected. And they may raise interest rates even sooner and spark a recession. And I'm sorry, y'all. That's on Joe Biden, not on the Republicans who are in the minority in the House, the minority in the Senate, and can't block a reconciliation package if the Democrats really wanted to go through. Joe Biden owns that, and the voters are going to punish him for it. Now, I don't want you to be punished by your allergies. I want you to go to EdenPureDeals.com today and get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's an air purifier, and it's filterless. You know, a lot of these air purifiers that you buy these days, they're very much like inkjet printers. You buy the air purifier, and then you're stuck with a lifetime of having to buy filters that are more expensive than the actual air purifier. With the EdenPure, you don't have to worry about that. It's filterless. You just wipe it out on occasion. It works great, and it gets rid of the pollen, the mildew, the mold that's floating in the air. It also eliminates odors. It doesn't mask the odors. It wipes out the odors, and it works. And right now, you can get three of them and save $200. In fact, you get all three of them for less than $200. What you do is you go to EdenPureDeals.com. You click on my name, Eric Erickson, and you put the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack in your cart at checkout. You'll say, oh my gosh, it's too expensive. And then you'll see a little discount code box, and you put in E-R-I-C-K and the number 3, Eric 3. And then click apply. And what you'll see, miracle of miracles, behold, it deducts $200 off. It gives you free shipping. And now your three Eden Pure Thunderstorms are less than $200 total. It's a fantastic deal for a fantastic product. Get rid of the odors in your house, in your RV, your basement, your upstairs, your downstairs, whatever. You get three of them. Put them wherever you want. They're portable. You hold this thing in your hand and it works great. EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code ERIC3 at checkout. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I don't know if you've heard this, but the director of the CDC has overruled the advisory panel. The advisory panel had recommended no booster shots except for the elderly and medically compromised, and the CDC is saying they're going to do it for healthcare workers as well. Overruling the panel. And I'm actually kind of surprised at this because, frankly, it sends a level of mixed signals. Everyone heralded the advisory committee as being the sound, reasonable organization. And now what's actually happening, it's not actually going to have its way. The CDC director is going to overrule it, as opposed to letting just an FDA panel of experts decide things. And that just breeds further distrust. Now, here's the thing. And I don't know that I know. I think I know the answer to it. But why cover the advisory panel as if it's monumental when the CDC director can overrule it? Doesn't that breed distrust? But more than that, shouldn't there be distrust of the CDC director doing this, given the political ramifications of it, trying to get closer to what Joe Biden wanted? Joe Biden dictated that everybody's going to get a booster. And here comes the advisory panel and says, nope, but it's like OSHA. Have you noticed that the OSHA requirements have not come out? Why not? The OSHA requirements have not come out. Joe Biden said he was going to mandate employer vaccines for companies of 100 or more, and he was going to do it through OSHA, and OSHA has not come forward with its regulations. Maybe they're writing them. There doesn't appear to be a whole lot of movement, or maybe it was to distract from the Afghan situation that everybody was talking about, because it sure did distract people from that. It distracted people from the missile attack that actually killed the dad and his kids as opposed to terrorists. Distracted from a lot of things. And we haven't actually seen the regulations. And now the OSHA the CDC advisory panel says, no, we don't need boosters for anyone except the medically fragile. And here comes the CDC director. After Biden says he wants everybody to have them, she overrules. It makes it look political. And if that's political, it makes you wonder if you can trust it. And this administration has not done a good job of trusting the scientists like they accused Donald Trump of not doing. They said they would trust the scientists. The scientists said, don't do this. And they've overruled it. That doesn't look good.